This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers from around the world. Welcome to your program, Nation of Goodness. This is the latest program, series I should say, put on by Imam Karim Abu Zaid. You've seen him on Guidance TV. Of course, you've seen him on our channel, Huda TV. He brought you Building a Better Future most recently. And this program, Nation of Goodness, is a natural extension of that series as well. Look, you guys, we've been talking about enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. In the last episode, we've been talking about some common misconceptions among Muslims who have abandoned doing this practice, as well as different types of Muslims with regard to this command from Allah, that is, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. So we will continue in this regard, inshallah. Of course, let us welcome our Shaykh back to the program. Shaykh Karim Abu Zaid, assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Malik and dear viewers. Very quickly, just to recap so the viewers get to know what we're talking about. We spoke about enjoining good and forbidding evil is the condition which is there to belong to that nation of goodness, khayra ummah. Now, we mentioned that enjoining good and forbidding evil is mandatory, at least with the heart. Once it comes to the hand and the tongue, it varies. It fluctuates between being recommended. Sometimes it's haram actually to do it. Sometimes it's wajib, it's mandatory as well. Now we got into the types of Muslims. Once it comes to enjoining good and forbidding evil, we said there is a small portion, a small segment of the Muslim world, basically around the imams, the students of knowledge, the scholars, who are doing the task, and they are enjoining good and forbidding evil. But this is not sufficient. And then we spoke about the overwhelming majority of the Muslims, they are not doing it, and they have abandoned that command. They do not do it at all. And I mentioned the same, the main reason for this is the fact that their hearts became contaminated.
Poisoned.
Poisoned.
Right.
That they do not recognize the good from the evil. And this does not mean that they should carry on with dead hearts. Rather, they need to revive these hearts again. And the only way to revive and resurrect these hearts is by acquiring the knowledge. Knowing what is good and knowing what is bad is the way to go about it. And then we got into some misconceptions that they may have regarding the issue. And we mentioned five. We mentioned three the last episode. We'll recap them quickly, and then we cover the last two, inshallah.
Okay.
The first of which is they say it's a personal freedom.
Right.
A Muslim cannot speak like that. If you speak like that, then you're really saying that the messengers and the prophets, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to mankind, they came to interfere with our personal
That's
freedom.
That's a great point.
This is absurd if a Muslim speaks like this. Come on. It doesn't go this way. And we've proven that there are collective consequences, serious consequences, which are collectively inflicting upon communities who do not, individuals in these communities where individuals do not enjoin good and forbid evil.
With quite catastrophic consequences.
Absolutely.
As you clearly illustrated.
Sir. Absolutely. Enough that your heart will not even begin recognizing the good and the bad, in my opinion. And this is statement was made by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the real consequence, the real devastating consequence, that your heart does not distinguish the good from the bad anymore, or your heart sees the good, the bad to be good,
right.
Or to be normal, or to be okay.
Acceptable.
Your heart acceptable. This is terrible. So personal freedom, we spoke about this. We spoke about this verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse number
105.
And the fact that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the first of the ummah to pay attention to the misconception that anyone may draw from
this verse.
And he said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed the fact that if you see wrongdoing And if you do not stop it, collective punishment will befall you. And also we stress the fact that we need to look into the understanding of our righteous predecessor of the same verse. Imam ibn Jarir al-Tabari compiled what Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman said regarding this verse. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Oh, you believe, be concerned about yourselves. It doesn't matter as long as you're guided. It doesn't matter those who are misguided. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman mentioned, إِذَا أَمَرْتُمْ وَنَهَيْتُمْ. Hudhayfa says, yes, part of you being guided that you enjoin good and forbid evil.
Right.
If you do not enjoin good and forbid evil, then you're not guided,
right,
because you're lacking the fulfillment of a certain command.
Yeah.
Then we spoke about the third misconception, which is quite interesting because it has some premise.
Right.
That, listen, I'm not perfect.
I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Be a hypocrite.
Right.
And you know what? It makes sense. Listen,
right,
overall, when you're free from the sin which you're trying to stop people from doing, your message will reach more people.
Right, it's more effective.
But you know what, on the other hand, Malik, I want to tell you something. The most perfect people who ever walk in the face of this earth are the prophets and the messengers, correct?
Right.
And we know that they are infallible in the sense of major sins and so forth. And yet, they called people to do what is right and stay away from what is wrong. The overwhelming majority of the people did not obey them.
Great point.
So, we cannot... you see, at the end of the day, yes, we have this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a man whose intestine will be coming out of his rear, and he will be going around it like a donkey goes, drags a grinder, and the people will ask this person, oh, so and so, how come, what happened to you? You used to command us to do good, you used to ban us from doing evil, and the person will say, I used to command you to do it, but yet I ended up not doing it, and I used to ban you from not doing the sin, and I ended up doing it.
And this is the proof they use.
Yes.
It's very convincing.
Yes, it is convincing.
Right.
But at the other hand, this is a very serious point. So at the other hand, you abandoning the doing and not doing does not mean that you stop or refrain from doing it. Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, compiled in his tafsir that al-Hasan al-Basri said to Mutarrif ibn Abdullah, enjoin good and forbid evil. Then Mutarrif, look at this now, he said to him, Inni akhaf, I am concerned that I tell them to do something that I do not do. Then al-Hasan said to him, Yarhamuk Allah, may Allah have mercy on you. Wa ayyuna yaf'al? And who does this?
Right, in other words, it's impossible to be perfect.
Look at the statement that يَوَدُّ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنَّهُ قَدْ ظَفَرَ بِهَذِهِ. Shaitan would love to convince all of us that you must be perfect before you enjoin good and forbid evil, so no enjoyment of good and forbidding of evil in earth
will ever take place because nobody's perfect.
Listen, we want also to establish the fact that your call to people will be more penetrating to the hearts if you're not guilty of the sin. But again, you abandoning the task of enjoining good and forbid evil is not justified by the fact that you're not doing it yourself.
Okay.
We have to establish that.
Well,
Imam al-Nawawi, let's look at it as religious ruling. العلماء يقولون فيما أخرج الإمام النووي لا يشترط في الآمر والناهي أن يكون كامل الحال متمثلا. It is not a condition on a person who enjoins good and forbid evil to be perfect himself. The fourth misconception, Malik, that a lot of Muslims have, they say, I don't want to get myself into trouble. I don't want to get myself into fitna.
Okay.
Listen, you're already getting yourself into trouble if you see evil.
Yeah, and you don't do anything.
And you don't do it.
Yeah, you're into trouble already.
Number one, you're not fulfilling the command. Number two, you're not removing yourself from the area of blame.
Right.
Being blameworthy for not... For enjoining good and forbidding evil.
Right.
And you're subjecting yourself to the collective punishment.
Right.
And if what happens if you collectively get punished and you die with those people who are committing the evil, you're going to be resurrected in a bad condition.
Right.
But rather, if you enjoin good and forbid evil and there is a collective punishment and you happen to die with them,
right,
then you're going to be resurrected in a different place.
Right.
So you're already... Add to this the fact that darb al-qalb, the issue that I see, very devastating, very serious consequence Once it comes to refraining from enjoining good and forbidding evil, the fact that your heart does not distinguish the evil from the good. Because if you see evil around you and you do not do anything about it, this will cause your heart not to see it anymore.
And this isn't a small thing, this is a huge
thing. In my opinion, this is the most dangerous piece.
Right.
That your heart is corrupt. Because we know, listen, القلب ملك البدن والجنود جوارحه كما قال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه. أبو هريرة says the heart is the king of the body and the limbs are the soldiers of this king. And he's taken this from حديث النعمان بن بشير وفيه في الحديث في البخاري in this hadith ألا إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح سائر الجسد وإذا فسدت فسد سائر الجسد ألا وهي القلب. Indeed in your body there is a limb. If it is sound, the rest of your body will be sound. If it is corrupt, not sound, not healthy, sick heart, the rest of the body will be sick. Now the consequence, the real trouble that you're talking about here, which you're concerned about getting yourself into, will lead to the fact that you lose your heart.
Do you think a lot of people are falling into this category?
Oof. I think a lot of people walk next to the wall, don't get yourself into trouble. This is going to cause you to lose your job. This is going to cause you to lose this. A lot of Muslims are falling into this because of the fear.
Right.
Listen, at the end of the day, we're not asking you to go and hit everybody and speak bad about everybody.
Right.
We mentioned how you go about it. But at the end of the day, if you're unable to change that evil with your tongue, unable to force the change, then you retreat to the heart, then you must isolate yourself from that environment because it will get to your heart, and this is why it is devastating.
Sheikh, can we talk about in the next segment, inshallah, after we take a short break, more about the heart?
Inshallah.
The effects that this has on the heart.
Well, we want to talk about that, and we want to talk about the final misconception, and hopefully the next segment, Malik, also, we want to get into the third type of Muslims.
Yes, excellent.
Inshallah, bi'idhnillah.
Okay, thank you. So if you guys stay tuned for more with Imam Karim Abu Zayd, we'll be right back after this short break.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Have spilled over onto the
escalated into violent clashes between police and protesters
over the government's plan to avoid default.
And we're also hearing of injuries on both.
Journalist Charlie McGrath says the cuts will heap further suffering on ordinary people.
For decades, but defense needs some
This is a serious and big storm.
Join me as I explore issues. Pressing issues facing the Muslim world today. From the one-sided civil war in Syria to the genocide in Burma, from the Arab Spring to the elections in the U.S., and yes, even the Euro debt crisis in Greece. Honest reporting on a channel you can trust, and I won't leave an issue untouched. Don't miss the Ummah Tonight with me, Malik, on your favorite channel for the TV.
خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back, you guys, to your program, Nation of Goodness. Sheikh Karim, we're talking about some very important topics. The last segment, I asked you to elaborate just a little bit on the negative effect that not enjoining the good and forbidding evil has on the heart. And please give the people that may be in this position a little bit of hope also.
Well, listen, the problem is as follows. Hadith Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman fi Sahih al-Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ كَعَرْضِ الْحَصِيرِ عُودًا عُودًا. When you see something wrong, is a fitna on you.
Right.
Is a fitna
yeah.
on you. Now you see it with your eyes, or maybe you hear about it with your ears. All right? You watch it in a movie or internet or whatever it is, in a YouTube, in a clip whatsoever. Now, when you see this, the reaction of the heart is so important.
Right.
Because what you see with your eyes, the eyes are just mediums. And it brings this to the heart. ستعرض. It will be presented to the heart one after another. فأيما قلب أنكرها سقل. When your heart denies it, أعوذ بالله, أستغفر الله, أعوذ بالله.
You have a healthy heart.
Healthy heart.
Yeah.
Actually, this fitna, the fact that you were able to reject it with your heart, it will strengthen your heart.
Right.
It will. You see, Ibn al-Qayyim came to Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn al-Qayyim is a student of Ibn Taymiyyah. And he said to, he always brings to him misconceptions. You know what he said to him? Do not allow your heart to be like a sponge. Rather, make sure that your heart is like a piece of glass. What does he mean? You see, that misconception which comes to Ibn al-Qayyim and to his heart, it goes to his heart, make sure that your heart is like a glass.
Right.
It hits and what does what?
Bounces back.
Bounces back.
Doesn't absorb it. Excellent.
But a sponge...
Suck it in.
Sucks it in.
Yeah, absorbs it.
Sucks it. Yeah. Sucks it. So the fitna is presented. Your heart denies it, rejects it. Haram, astaghfirullah, like a glass.
Yeah.
The glass gets stronger. The more it bounces, gets stronger and stronger. فأيما قلب أنكرها سقل. The meaning, it will become fortified.
Right.
It will gain more immunity by the number of fitan, by the number of wrong things that he does see, the heart sees, and then it rejects. But there is the other type of heart which gets sick. وَأَيُّمَا قَلْبٌ أُشْرِبُهَا. And then when your heart sucks it, it becomes like a sponge. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said at the end of this hadith, this heart لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا إِلَّا بِمَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَى. He will not, this heart will become sick that it will not be able to see that evil because the heart sucked it.
Right.
Man, I like that.
Right.
This is good.
Over and over and over.
Over and over again. That is where it is dangerous.
Right.
On the heart.
Okay.
I just wanted to give.
Thank you, Shaykh.
Yeah, and when the heart becomes ill, when the heart becomes sick,
the body
is sick.
But we do have some hope. Allah can revive these people's
hearts,
of course. Yeah.
Knowledge.
Yeah, knowledge, yeah.
اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. Look at the context of this verse in Surah Al-Hadid. Allah can always resurrect your heart, but by the knowledge.
Mashallah.
You seek the knowledge.
Okay.
Now, the fifth and last type of misconception, Malik. A lot of Muslims, they say, listen, I've been calling people, and they're not happening. Listen, it's not your job.
Right. They say they're not listening to me, so I should stop.
Your job is to deliver. Remember the objectives behind you calling people?
Yes.
Or enjoining good and forbidding evil. You're reminding them.
Right.
That reminder may benefit.
Right.
But again, you're fulfilling the command. You're removing yourself from the area of blameworthy.
Right.
Huh?
And
you're trying to establish the hujjah against the people. It's not your job. Yeah, akhi, if it was the job of people to guide people, Nuh would have guided his son.
Right.
Correct?
Of course.
Nuh would have guided his wife. Correct?
Right. Of course.
Lut would have guided sallallahu alayhi jami'an, yani wasallam.
All of them. Okay.
And Lut would have guided his wife. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have guided his uncle. Huh? Yeah. Yet, he talked to his uncle about Islam throughout his life. And yet he still invited him at the time of death.
SubhanAllah.
Your job is to speak.
Right.
Your job is to enjoin good and forbid evil. Because when you speak about it, you're protecting your heart from what?
From this poison. Yeah.
Oh. So here he is, in the bed of death, he's inviting his people. Because, listen, at the end of the day, they divide guidance into two types. Hidayatul dalalati wal irshad, that you show the people the direction. You see, in the Quran, and I'll go back to this point quickly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You guide to a straight path. That's a verse at the end of Surah Al-Shura. And then in Surah Al-Qasas, he said to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. You do not guide. Anybody who reads this, he would say there is a contradiction.
Right, of course.
You do not guide and you guide?
Right.
You need to understand there are two types of guidance. نوعان من الهداية. هداية الدلالة, that you show people the way, but there is something called هداية التوفيق, And this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah will make those people see the truth.
Okay.
This is leave it to Allah. It's not your business. Your business is to remind them. Your business is you remove yourself from the area of blameworthy and you fulfill the command to convey.
Right.
Your business is to establish the evidence against your people. That
right.
is your business.
Right.
But whether the people will heed, will listen to you or not, no. that is not your business.
Okay.
And that is why you have to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Because you know what? The time that you stop doing it may be the time when their hearts are ready to receive.
Excellent point.
Wallahi Malik.
Do you have any personal experiences in this regard?
A lot. A lot. A lot. Over and over again. Because this heart, subhanAllah, is in the hand of Allah.
Yeah.
Ya akhi, and I read this story. Jubayr ibn Mut'im ibn Adi, and his story is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He actually told us the first time his heart opened to Islam. What happened? He came to intercede with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to free the prisoners from the Battle of Badr. You know, his father did a favor to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet and Zayd ibn Haritha went to Ta'if and they were chased out and thrown with rocks, when he came to Mecca, he did not enter. His uncle is dead. He lost his protection in Mecca. So he waited until he sent for somebody to come and offer him something called al-Juwar, the protection.
Right.
Everyone in Mecca declined. They refused to offer the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the protection. But the father of Jubayr, a man whose name is al-Mut'am ibn Adi, who died as a disbeliever, subhanallah, he came and he said, I will protect you. Look at this now. His son Jubayr, he remembered that his father did a favor for the Prophet ﷺ. So when the Muslims captured 70 of the disbelievers in the Battle of Badr, he went to Medina to free them. He entered Medina when? At the time of Maghrib, Salatul Maghrib. You know, when it is Maghrib, everybody is in the masjid behind the Prophet ﷺ. And he heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting Surah Al-Tur. Huh? أَمْ تَأْمُرُهُمْ أَحْلَامُهُمْ بِهَذَا أَمْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَهُ بَلْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ آيات verses مالك that if you read there is a page يا إخوة at the last at the end of Surah At-Tur if you read that that with a heart it's like strikes
it hits
Because it, questions right. for people who deny rububiyyah. Basically always in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses his lordship, the fact that he created, he provides, being the ground to ask people to submit to him.
Right.
Now I created, I provided, why are you submitting to someone else?
Right.
Why are you worshipping an idol? What does this idol create?
Right.
So Jubayr ibn Mut'am heard these verses. You know what he said? كاد قلبي أن يطير. My heart was about to get to fly out of my chest. Because what? His heart got open.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
And In he heaven. Said, إن هذا أول ما وقر الإسلام في قلبي. This was the first time that I felt Islam in my heart.
So this is a great point. You never know when their heart will
no.
be open. So you don't want
to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leading the salah.
Right.
He's leading the salah. He has no clue that Jubayr is here.
Right.
He's reciting the salah,
yeah.
and he وَصَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. At one stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a delegation from al-jinn
right.
to hear him reciting the Quran. Yeah. He was reciting the Quran to his companions.
Right.
Al-jinn heard it. Huh? What happened? يعني this show that we're doing, Allah knows best how many Muslims will watch it,
right.
and how many Muslims will watch it over and over again. But at one time, this show will get to one person, two person,
yeah.
three person. And that's what we're hoping,
right,
inshallah. Yeah. These misconceptions must be removed.
Okay.
Malik, there is one more group.
You got it. Go ahead, Sheikh.
From the Ummah,
okay.
Which is the third group. Yes, they do enjoin good, but without good.
What do you mean?
They do forbid evil, but with evil. They don't have the knowledge. They don't know how to go about it. And I think, inshallah, the next episode, which is the final episode of our series, we will talk a little bit more about those and give our final thoughts, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.
Okay.
With this, we have hopefully offered something to the ummah to work with once it comes to this crucial, rather important subject.
Inshallah, thank you so much, Sheikh, for your time and your thoughts. As always, you guys, you heard it from Imam Karim Abu Zayd. Don't miss the next and final episode of your program, Nation of Goodness. Until then, I leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nasi ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Walau amana ahlul kitabi lakana khayran lahum. Minhumul mu'minuna wa aktharuhumul fasiqun. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.